and sing it.
Yes.
If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open the scriptures. The title is today, Time Shall Be No More. We'll read from 1 Corinthians 15, first. Chapter 15, we'll start at verse 35, speaking of the resurrection. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of a beast, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 18. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with him, with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then I want to read from Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. This one is very familiar to us, but the things I'm going to say today bring it right down to this passage of scriptures. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon sea and upon on the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's just pray. Lord, as we bow our hearts to you this morning, we want to tell you that we love you. We thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, to be with your people, and to look into these words of life, eternal life. We pray, God, that you just move upon each one of us. Lord, speaker here, we pray, God, that all of our actions would be to glorify you, Lord, that your sheep, your people would be fed and go away strengthened today with confidence in their hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Happy to love the Lord this morning. It wasn't a very strong amen. Remember, what goes on in this room isn't so much to look up here, but the Lord's looking out there to see what your response is to his word. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And we just love the Lord, love him, all his goodness, all the things he's done. Again, I appreciate the song service. And when you think about Brother Tim, he's just giving the devil a black eye. So, and so I love that. You know, the Lord is here to help us through all things. And I'm sure that he really likes it when somebody will take the help that he's given us and run with it.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, and use it. That in all things we are here to give glory to God.
Yes.
And so we just appreciate each one. And I just love to see soldiers that keep on doing their job. Mm-hmm. Amen. So how many believe that we're living in the season of the resurrection?
Yeah.
Amen. For us, for those who are alive and remain, a season of the rapture. Mm-hmm. And so we are living in that season. You know, the message, when you look at all the church ages and everything that unfolded down through the ages, the message has come, has brought us into that cycle.
Yeah.
The cycle of the resurrection, the cycle of the rapture. But even within the framework of the message, here at the end, we've had this message for a long time. It's bringing us into that cycle. You know, Brother Ben talked about it, and you know, the things would kind of delay a little bit or whatever, but we move into that cycle, and I believe we are moving into that cycle. And so you come to this, because now, even here in the message, we're not just saying God sent a prophet or anything like that, but now we realize that it's Christ coming in word form, living through you and I. Mm-hmm. He's bringing us in that cycle, the cycle of the resurrection and rapture. We know that as the bride of Christ, we should be looking for the rapture. Brother Brown tells us in the rapture message that the rapture is a revelation,
right,
and that the bride would be looking for that revelation. And so, you know, a bride looks for a bridegroom, right? She's watching for him. And so we realize that Brother Brown tells us in a sermon, Uniting Time and Sign, I believe was the name of it. I've been listening to that recently. And so that there are God sends signs along the way for his people to see and know the hour that they live in. And he sends that to his people. He doesn't send it to everybody. Not everybody notices it. But to God's bride, to his people, they recognize signs that he sends. And here at the end time, he has sent this uniting time sign for us to understand that it is uniting time. And in there, he explains in there how that when the children of Israel, when Jesus came and they rejected him, then all these powers, political powers, begin to come together. And the whole purpose was God was going to bring judgment upon Israel for what they had done. And so he's talking about that here at the end time. Same thing is happening when Christ has come in this wonderful message and manifested himself, and the world has rejected it. And now communism is fortifying. They're strengthening themselves together for the purpose of bringing judgment upon this generation because of what they've done. And so there is a spirit that's been poured out on the whole earth for people to unite. And that's what they're doing. Like in the Bible, all these armies would get together, and they would unite their powers together to accomplish a certain thing, you know. And so that's what the enemy does. But while this is all happening, God has poured out that same spirit of uniting upon the bride to unite with Christ. Amen. And so unite with him, Christ, who is The resurrection. He is life.
Amen.
He is the rapture. And so that's what we're uniting with. We're not uniting with the words of a man.
Right?
We're uniting with the words that's written in this scripture promise for this day that's been made manifest before us and in us. And so that's what we are uniting with. And so, because he is life.
Yeah.
Right? He's, I am the resurrection, I am the life, and he's all you need.
Right.
Right? So we're uniting with him, and he is word. He is the word promised for this day like it was in other days. He is the word promised in this day. And it just so happens that the word promised for this day brings him down in fullness to live in us in the fullness.
Yeah.
Right? In his bride. Hasn't been that way in previous ages, but that's where it is now. And so that's really all we want to do is come right into his presence. Just think, just as you, I know that you that have experienced the presence of the Lord, how wonderful it is just to come into that presence. It's, you can't describe it. But just you know that you're in the presence of the Creator of all things, and everything just melts away. It's hard to describe. And so we appreciate that. And you know, Brother Ram, when he preached the rapture message in Psalms 27, you know, I believe that's why he picked that particular portion of scriptures, because he was speaking of a time of trouble. Mm-hmm. But in that time of trouble, while trouble is all around, he will hide us in his pavilion,
right?
And while all that's going on, the desire of our hearts is just to seek after the Lord and to inquire in his temple and to behold the beauty of the Lord,
right.
To see him, to see his revelation, as the scripture said, those that are loving his coming, those that are loving his appearing. We love to see him in his word. We love to see him unfold in the things that he's doing. We love to see him come down and speak to the hearts of people and cause them to line up with the message of the hour.
Man.
We love that. It's all the coming and appearing of the Lord. And that's all we long to see. We want to see God move every day.
Yeah.
We don't see him move in our lives and our loved ones' lives. And we just want to see that revelation. And that's what in a time of trouble, that's what's in our hearts. Just to see God move. And see him fulfill his word. So I believe we're fulfilling exactly what Brother Rand said there in Psalms 27. That in a time of trouble, when everything should be making us all be beat down and worried and fear for looking at the things that are coming on the earth. But to the bride, she's been pulled away into a secret place, beholding the beauty of the Lord, being protected from the things that are all happening. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody else?
Amen.
I believe that's exactly what God's doing right now. And so, you know, no doubt we have troubles. We all do. We live in a world full of troubles. They're all around us. It's just like a fish in the sea. The water is troubles. It's all around us. It rubs against us. It just all the time. You're dealing with things of this life. So there's no doubt. And we can't deny, we can't lie to ourselves. We have to admit that this outward man is perishing. This outward man is decaying just like everything in this world is. And so we can't deny that. But while this flesh in this world is decaying, as we read in the scriptures, we faint not.
Right.
And we faint not because we can look down on the inside and we can see that the inward man is being renewed every day. Even though this outward man is getting weaker and is headed to the dust of the earth, we can look down inside. I'm talking about Christians. We can look down inside and know that God is renewing us day in and day out. And what we are down inside is not getting weaker, not getting smaller, but is getting greater.
Right.
Yeah, we can see that. And so when you see those things happening in the world, just crumbling and falling away, we don't faint. Because we realize that our inward man is being renewed day by day. So we know the order of the resurrection. You know, we talk about how that, well, Christ will come, you know, first him in the resurrection and those at his coming. But if you'll notice there, Paul said, it can't be quickened unless it dies first. So the order of the resurrection is life, death, burial, and resurrection. You can't have resurrection unless there was a life first, and that life had to die,
mm-hmm.
be buried, and resurrection. We don't like to hear those things, but if we want a resurrection in his likeness, there has to be a death to the things. You understand? And so we understand that is the order of the resurrection. Life, death, burial, resurrection. And Brother Branham was pointing us to nature, that nature itself proves that. That the same life that went down is the same one that comes up. It's not replacement, right? But it's the same life that comes up that went down, and that's what resurrection is. So, on the other side, I'll know you. You'll know me, right? Because as the prophet said, that life there is a continuation of what's here. Amen? What God has started and done here, that's a continuation there. And so we know that nature even shows those things, the plants and so forth. As Brother Branham, his last sermon, talked about that in communion there, that he looked at that little flower there that was under the snow and the ice, and here it is again. And so we realize that in this life, I'm talking about this world, it is associated with death and sorrow and troubles and all that thing, all those things because of the fall. And so it's associated with death, and death has to come to this life that a resurrection can happen. And so we read there in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 through 45, that it is this life, it is sown in corruption, that it can be raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. You can't have incorruption, glory, power, or a spiritual body unless first we have, it's been sown in corruption and dishonor, weakness in the natural body. And so we realize that we're associated with those things. We're very familiar with it. Feel the pains in our bodies every day. We see things, just collapsing, and no, nothing you build here in this world lasts forever. I often, every time I think about that, I think about the arches up there in St. Louis. Now, isn't it covered with stainless steel? Stainless steel. Now, we consider stainless steel, man, that stuff will last forever, right? Because it's stainless. But you know, one day, that'll be no more,
right?
Man cannot make something that time will not eventually get a hold of and decay, right? It can't happen. It just doesn't happen. And so we realize, and I always think about that. That's what comes to my mind. Sometimes we have to work with stainless at work, and I hate working with machining and all that. It's just not, you know. But it has qualities about it. But even that will come to naught at some point.
Wow.
So we realize we're associated with all these things. We see all that happening. But during the time while we're walking in this earth and see those things happening all around us, we don't faint, because we realize it's just for a moment. Just for a short, very short while that we have to endure these things. And while you're going through the thick of it, it seems like eternity. But brother, sister, it's just a short moment that these things we're talking about this morning that we have to deal with. And so while we're here, the scripture tells us we do not look at those things that are temporal, those things that can be seen, those things that are temporary. We're not supposed to look at that and let that be what motivates us.
Right.
I mean, I realize we have to get in a vehicle that's going to disappear, going to be gone someday, that's going to break down, it's going to be back to the elements of the earth or whatever. We're in a body, we have to go and make money that decay. I understand all that. We do, but while we're doing that, we're keeping our eyes focused on the thing that matters. And what matters is the things that are not seen. So we don't look at the temporal thing, because it all decays. So what decays? Money, clothes, buildings, automobiles, our natural bodies,
right.
You name it. Tell me something in this life here that doesn't decay,
right.
Doesn't break down.
Right.
See? So the scriptures tell us don't look to those things, but look to the things that are not visible, but the things that do not pass away. And so we know that God is eternal. Brother Graham tells us that God is the only form of eternal life. God is eternal. And so anything that has eternal life has its place in God. Mm-hmm. Has to be a part of God in order for it to be eternal. And, you know, the church world doesn't teach us this way, but here's the prophet telling us that if you have eternal life, you always were. That if you're in that economy of God today, it's because you were always. Now, we didn't always know that. Right? We didn't always know that, but now we're beginning to see that. And so anything that is eternal has its place in God. And you know, God, we realize that by His Word, He created all things. He created things and brought things into manifestation. But not all things represent eternal life. Right? Lucifer doesn't represent eternal life. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It's not a representation of eternal life. It's not part of eternal life, but because you know, the angels were created, but they're not subject to time. But they can't be eternal unless there has an eternal part of it, you know. And so it's hard for us to wrap our head around that we was like, well, I haven't always been here. But there's a life inside you that's always been part of God. That's the thing you got to catch and realize. There's a part of you that always has been. Right. And that's the thing God wants us to look at. So I said, what decays? Well, this decays.
Sure.
So don't look at that, right? You have failures. Don't look at that. Mm-hmm. You remember how we've talked about, look at what's on the Lamb's Book of Life? Not on the book of life of our actions, but look on the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's where God goes to find His bride, right? And so we look at all these things and we know that they decay. So don't look at the things that pass away, but look at the things that are eternal. And so, as I said, many things that are created, they don't represent eternity or eternal things. And like I said, hell's not eternal, neither is Satan. And so everything, I tried to use some terminology and maybe explain what I mean, but everything that's created in time is constrained by time. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, why do you get tired? Why do you get hungry? Because you're subject to time.
Right.
If you were not subject to time, if you were an eternal being, then you wouldn't have those things, mm-hmm. right? And so everything that is created, that God created, that He places in time, subject to time, decays, has to deal with the fact that it's in time, cannot go beyond the boundaries of time, but time is not eternity, right? And so, everything created in time is constrained by it. But the sons and daughters of God weren't created in time. Sons and daughters of God are from eternity.
Right.
But God places our bodies in time. You know, Brother Graham talks about how that we come down and out of eternity, drop down into time, and then we go back.
Right.
And so in our bodies, we are, because of the fall, in our bodies, we are subject, we are in time, we are subject to time. We get old, we get weak, we get hungry, we get tired, we get sick. All of those things are because we are subject to time.
Right.
And so when you try to imagine eternity, your brain shuts down because you just can't comprehend having always been and always will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just to me as an example that God brings us down into this sphere of time, and you try to go out there and you can't even comprehend it hardly, mm-hmm. what's out there. But I do believe by revelation we can see those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as the scripture said, eye hath not seen, ears not heard, hadn't even been entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. But He hath revealed it. So the scripture doesn't say you can't understand it. Mm-hmm. It just says that the way you understand it has to come from Him. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why when Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Even, as Brother Ram said, even Jesus in His own flesh had not revealed that to Peter. Flesh and blood had not revealed it. But revelation. And so it's not that you can't know the things of God. It's just it's not entered into our own hearts by itself. It has to come from God. And if God reveals it, then you can know these things that he's committed to us. And I believe that we can begin to understand and comprehend what's outside of time that is part of us that he reveals to us. And so our bodies are in time. Minds have a hard time comprehending anything beyond that. But there's an eternal part inside us that is not constrained by time. And we come into this world, we didn't know that. We did not know what was inside us, who we are. As I said, while we're here, we know we're associated with death and decay and all those things. But when time shall be no more. It shall have no more constraints on you and I.
Right.
When God takes us from this realm of time and puts us back into eternity, time will no longer have its effect on you. No pains, no sorrows, no decays, no getting old. None of those things. Those are all temporal things. That's why the scripture tells us don't look at those. But look at the thing that lasts forever, the thing that's eternal, things that does not appear. You know, scripture, I've thought of that many times, you know, that we say that by faith, we know that God created everything by his word, right? Well, you realize God had to believe his own word one day,
right?
That's the way, I mean, just to stand there and say that there's nothing, and then just to believe. And to speak. And all those things come from that. Mm-hmm. And we are little fires spun off from that great big fire. So within us, there's that potential and that element within us. Right? Mm-hmm. That even though we don't see things and we can't see it, but if we can believe it, if it's part of God's economy, we can believe it, then it can be by a spoken word. Spoken word living through us. And so, while we're here in time, I remember preaching one time titled it Standing the Test of Time. That here we are as God's family, and it's shouted with God and before the foundation of the world, and then he sends us here and takes us as eternal beings and puts us in a body and a time and a dimension that's constrained to time, that's associated with all those things for testing and trying.
Right.
And so we come here to be tested and tried, and when it's all over and done with, we go back to where we came from, and so we you hear the phrase, will it stand the test of time? Mm-hmm. So, you know, God, of course, he knew, but he could say, I'm going to send my children down there, and will they stand the test of time? Will they stand that testing time and return back to me having returned to what they always were? And the answer is yes. All of God's children, all of his word will return to him. Doesn't go out void. So we come here to stand the test of time. We came here with spiritual amnesia. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, these sermons that Brother Branham preached, the message is for the bride. Let me put it that way. The message is for the bride. And we hear these titles and these sermon titles and so forth, and they speak volumes to us. And I listen to Brother Branham, and I hear him like preaching spiritual amnesia. And he'll be speaking, and he's speaking to denominations and saying, you know, and he's telling them how that, you know, when you get away from, get into the creeds and dogmas and all that you've forgotten what you're supposed to be as a child of God. And he talks like that, and I understand that, not denying that, but I believe ultimately these sermons were for the bride. And so for us to realize that we came here, and we realize we're here, but we don't remember when we were in eternity. God has blocked that from us. We don't remember that. And so we came here with spiritual amnesia. And Brother Ben talked about the amnesia and all those sorts of things. He talked about, you know, the soldiers sometimes through many battles, that they forget who they are, right? They forget. And so he was telling about the story about the soldiers that they were taken somewhere, and some man was over them, and they pulled it into some train station and left all the soldiers out that had amnesia, and they were walking around and trying to, you know, just rest or whatever. And he noticed one guy began to look at things, and he began to walk, and he followed this young man. And the young man started down a pathway off into the woods and walked into a place where there was a cabin. And when he walked up, the boy, the soldier's dad, ran out on the porch and said, "Son, I knew you'd come home." Right. And here's what Brother Brown was saying. He said, "Listen, these are things the prophet told us." Mm-hmm. You didn't get this from seminaries and denominations. He's telling us the thoughts of God for us to catch. But here's this man who didn't realize who he was. He was always the son of that man that was in that cabin. But he had forgotten because of battles or whatever it was that happened in those things. He had forgotten who he was. And so he's always been that. But he forgot. And Brother Brown said when he got around familiar surroundings, then it began to cause him to remember. And so we, you know, Brother M said that a lot of times, you know, it's battles that'll cause a person to go into amnesia. He said being halt between two opinions, mm-hmm. right? It cause something to come over you, right? That's why that when the word is preached, we gotta go with it. It's because if you let Satan get you in a place where you're, "Well, I just don't know," it's a message, you know, you're in a dangerous spot there, mm-hmm. right? When you're halt between two opinions. You don't want to do that. You want to be on fire and seize what is it and get to the bottom of things, you know. Don't let things just sit there. Just get to that place where you understand, because if you're in halt between two opinions, you can have spiritual amnesia. These things are true, but ultimately, I look at that and say, we came here not knowing who we are. God made it that way. He put us in time where we can't really get off into that area, and yet we were there. We shouted for joy. We sang and so forth. And so we come here with spiritual amnesia, but when we get around familiar surroundings, it begins to bring back our memory. We begin to catch revelation
right.
of that realm of where we come from. And so how does that happen? Well, it happens through the preaching of the word.
Right.
But not just denominational teaching or something like that, but where God has come down in this evil age and has brought us face to face. As Brother Bram said in the God of this evil age, says that the bride has to come face to face with this. Not just some denominational teaching. That wouldn't do it. But she comes face to face with the word. Right? And so that's what's happened. We have come face to face with the word that has the ability, that is resurrection, that is life, and has the ability to cause us to begin to remember who we are.
Right.
Cause us to begin to remember, I am more than this right here. Like Brother Graham said, I am more than, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, but I'm something else, right? And so a message that has come in this last day with the power and the strength of the word to call us to attention and begin to cause us to realize who we are and cause that amnesia to begin to go away from us. And so getting around familiar surroundings and getting around the word that's preached, perhaps the same thing that was preached to us over there when we shouted and rejoiced. And now here it is through an end time message. These things have been brought to us. Pentecost didn't bring that to me or to you. Baptist didn't. Methodist didn't. But it's been an end time message that's been able to take us back and begin to make us realize I've got to be more than what's just right here. Something inside me and something inside you is calling us beyond all this, right? And when all this other stuff's decaying and everybody's halt between two opinions and all that, we're not. We faint not. Because we see something working down inside us that supersedes all this other stuff that passes away. Amen. And so our spiritual amnesia is going, is being diminished and gotten rid of because we're from around these things. And so then, because of this, now we come to ourselves. And always when I say that, I'm thinking of the prodigal son, as the scripture said, when he went off out and he wanted to do his own thing, and we all come into this world just as sinners, whatever. But down inside is something else that we are. And so this guy, he goes out there, his prodigal son, he's living it up, having a good time. But listen, if you're a child of God, your happy days in this realm is going to come to an end. And it's all the hand of God to make you come to realize who you are. He got out there and lived it up, spent himself, and began to be in want. And the scripture said he came to himself. You mean he didn't realize? Yeah, that's right. He didn't realize who he was. So he came to himself and began to realize, and we know the story, that he wanted to go back and he went back and the Father received him back. And so we come to ourselves and realize that we're sons of God. What is it? We come to ourselves. Eternal life is revealed to us. We begin to catch the revelation of something beyond this realm, that it's eternal life. And in the midst of all this decay all around us, and even in here, in all this decay, while that's going on, eternal life is revealed to us. Jesus Christ, life, the resurrection, the rapture is revealed to us. And once we get that revelation, then the gates of hell can't prevail against them. Once you get that revelation, and then you know nothing can change that. You know, God had an Eden. You've probably heard this before. God had an Eden. Everything was just the way he wanted. Adam and Eve was there. And Satan, through the serpent, came into God's Eden and caused the fall. Satan snuck in there and come in the midst of God's perfect Eden, subverted God's plan, and caused the fall. But I like to look at it this way, that here we are in Satan's Eden. That's another terminology that the prophet is, God sent through him. Here we are in Satan's Eden, and Satan's got it just the way he wants it, and God has come down. And while in the midst of all of this decay and all of Satan's Eden, God has come down in subverting Lucifer's plan and bringing people back. With a message. That's exactly what he's done. And so, that revelation I'm talking to, I said eternal life is revealed to us, is Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. He is the resurrection. He is the rapture. The rapture is not just an event. The rapture is a person. The resurrection is a person. Life is a person. And it's him. It's not found anywhere else. It's him. Mm-hmm. That's why when we come into his presence, mm-hmm. things change.
Right.
Because he is life. Right? To be outside, he's light. And to be outside of him is to be in darkness. And so that revelation, life is revealed to us. Mm-hmm. And not just life in him, but him in us. That there's something revealed to us down inside that we see he's living in me. He has come and changed me. He's changed my life. He's done these things. He's speaking to us through his word.
Right.
And you realize that's not a man. A man can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it's revealed to you. Life is revealed to you. Eternal life.
Right.
And so while all these things are going on outside, we are quickened. Every day, inside.
Right.
That's why we faint not. Because though our outward man perish, inside we are daily renewed by life, by Jesus Christ himself. You know, we go through cycles. And I, you know, A real Christian, you'll go through cycles of where you're just so on fire, so full of the presence of God, and you go and in that strength, rejoicing, and as a day goes by, two or three days, whatever long the cycle is, and that fervency, that's such an electrified experience of being in the presence of God, begins to fade away. And at some point you begin to get desperate, and you may get to get hungry, and you come back, and you gotta get another charge. Right? You gotta get another charge. And the devil would try to say, see, if you was a real Christian, you wouldn't even get to that place where desperation strikes. You wouldn't even get to that. If you was a Christian, you'd just be on fire all the time. He's a liar. It's natural. It's natural for you. You ate breakfast, Manny, this morning, right? Before the day's out, you're going to get hungry again. Now, does the devil say, you know what? I know you had breakfast this morning, but you can't be a real human because you're hungry again. No, that's proof you are a Christian, a human, right? And so the fact that you go from church and you feel blessed, and as the week goes on, you begin to feel like, I need more of God, that's proof you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Because you want to come back to more. Because why? You want to be in that presence. You want to have, why? That's life working in you.
Yeah.
It's life working in me that's going to make me want to eat some food a little bit. Right? That's life. But Satan trying to come along and say, well, you know, he's a liar. That's proof that you're a believer. When you have something inside you that wants to come back over and over and over to that presence and to that fellowship. That's why you come to the house of God. That's why Brother Rem said a good Christian will read his Bible and pray every day. Because if he doesn't, what happens? He starts getting weak. Right? But he has something inside him that wants to do that. The want to is there. Amen. So, we're quickened on the inside daily while we look at everything else that's passing away. You know, Brother Branham was getting old. And yet, inside, he was still the prophet of God. And nothing changes that. And he still is to this day, over on the other side, a prophet of God. I was thinking yesterday, you know, just Billy Paul recently, and many heard the story about him having the dream, Brother Bram on the other side of the stream saying, you look tired, Billy. You look tired. Why don't you come over here with me? And of course, Brother Billy went to be with the Lord a few days later. Now I was just thinking about that, the joy that I'm going to have in my heart when I get to meet Brother Branham in person. Meet the Lord in person. Meet Paul in person. Just the joy. Think about it. To get on that other realm over that other side and to meet up with those soldiers. What a time. Brother, sister, that's what's real. Not this world. That's what's real. So, we're not to look at the things that are temporal. Sickness, weakness, failing bank accounts, broke down cars, doctor bills, broken pipes that's in the ground that has to be replaced, whatever. We're not to look to those things. That's not our focus. We expect those things to fail. And this is what I want you to remember. If it's temporal, if it's of this world, if you look at that and expect it to last forever, there's something wrong. You expect those things to fail. You expect the vehicle to give you troubles at some point. And you expect this life to end someday. If we tarry and the Lord doesn't change our bodies and we go, we expect that. So you can't look to something that's a failure and expect something great from it. And we look to governments, a new president, he'll fix everything. Forget it. You know, a new government, a new program, a new this, a new that. It won't fix anything. Because like I said the other day, they try to give people all those things, but without the word. And there's the problem. Because there's only one tree of life. Right? There's all kinds of other trees in the garden. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. But there's one tree of life. And the scripture does not say anything about life being in any of those other trees. We must be partakers of eternal life. The person of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost. His living word in this hour. That's where life is.
Right.
Nowhere else. So why would we look somewhere else trying to expect comfort in an hour that we live in now where everything's fading away, see? And so though we're in this world and our outward man is perishing, we faint not because we are looking to the eternal, the one who does not fail. So, because eternal will never fail. So when you know these things are going to perish, prepare for it. Prepare. I know that here shortly the oil in my car is going to need to be changed. Mm-hmm. So I prepare for it.
Right.
I'll get the stuff for it. Right? We know that this life will come to an end someday. So prepare for it.
Right?
Yeah. Right? And so that's just how it is. Your bank account's going to dwindle down, so you prepare for it. All those things. But when you look to the eternal, you don't have to prepare anything for that because it don't fail. Right? It doesn't fail. So there's no, I have to prepare because one day eternal life's going to stop. No, that's what you want to get to. But these things in this life, yeah, you have to prepare for it. And knowing that these things will pass away at some point. So, we faint not. You know, as a Christian, we want to run well.
Right.
We want to run well. We want to do what we can here to help those while we're here. And you know, we're not here to build up vain riches and things like that, like the song says, covet not this world's vain riches. That's not why we're here. And though we have to live, we have to work, do all those things like that, but our purpose for being here is an eternal purpose.
Amen.
And we want to do well. We want to affect one another. We want to help one another.
Right.
And more than anything else, brother and sister, but you know, I want to be able to look to you, and you should want to look to me and look to one another and be able to say that because we know time is filled with swift transition. We know that at any moment, any one of us could be taken from us. We know that. And so it's important that we daily, that we do and we act and we leave things in such a way that if God did take us today, that those we've left behind have a clear message. And that is that there's a meeting place. That time does have its effect. It does come and take us away and do different things. But there's something beyond that we look to. And brother, sister, that's where we look. And to be able to live among one another, and for you to know that if you were taken or someone was taken from you, that we already know we're going to meet again. We're going to be on that place over there where there will be no sickness, no sorrow, where time will have no effect. And to be able to do that, it's like taking a long trip. You know, if we were all going to go to Florida or something like that, and let's say we just had to walk. You know, we didn't have cars. It maybe take months and months, you know. And all the perils and all that, and we're all separated. We all get there. We're looking forward to all being together. We get there, and you know, finally go, man, I finally arrived. You know, but that's not all of it. You can say, oh, I finally made it. I finally arrived. Here I am. But what about those that I love? What about those that are left behind that are their journey too? Have they made it? And as each one begins to come in, oh, the joy. They made it. Yes, they made it. We're all, yes. And but you wouldn't be fully satisfied until everybody came. Follow me? And that's the way it is. It's sad to say that we have to say goodbyes when the Lord takes somebody from us. But remember, it's the order of the resurrection. Right? And so we prepare for those things. But brother, sister, there's a meeting place where we'll all be. And over there, there will be none of these things that hinder and hurt and sorrow. A place where we can meet again. And though we all go through a long journey, one by one, we'll come in over there and begin to see. And so that's where our hope is in that, because the Lord made it possible. When we get there and say, I would say, I finally made it. Praise God, I'm here. But where's Brother Daniel? Is Brother Dan, did he make it? Brother Matt, did he make it? Brother Tim, all the rest of you. You know that when you get there, that's what you're going to be thinking. You're going to be, oh, where's my wife? Where's my, and like Brother Rem says, that you know, when you get there, just say, Bill, call for him. That's what I'll do. That's what I hope you would do. That when we get to the other side, we'd be having trust in the eternal, that we all are partakers of eternal life, that one by one we'll all come in on that other side over there. And when we get there, we'll be looking. I'll be looking for Sister Catherine. I'll be looking for Brother Jordan. And as each one, oh, the joy that will sweep over us to know that the ones that we walk with here, come on in, and we're all there. And eventually, all those that was part of our circle of fellowship and friendship and so forth, when they all come there, can you imagine what that's going to be like? That's not time. That's what eternity has for us. That place on the other side there. And so, where time shall be no more. That phrase, time shall be no more, or you know, we've run out of time or whatever, is kind of considered a bad phrase sometimes. Like, well, we don't have any more time. Trying to get something done, you run out of time. But as Christians, that phrase, you know, to a sinner, when their life comes to an end, time should be no more. That's a fearful thing. But to a believer, to a person who's a believer, that is not a fearful phrase. Brother, sister, yeah, we don't want the pain and sorrow of coming to death in this life. But this death in this life, all that is just a chariot with horses on it tied to it to take you into the presence of God. To take you to that place that we long to be. That's what it is. Just to take you over there where you want to be with God. And so, it's not a bad phrase. And if we think of it as a bad thing, we need to reconsider. Because Jesus Christ has purchased that redemption for us and prepared that place for us to go there. Where there are no limitations. The limitations we have here are temporary. When we get through here in this place, in time, then all those constraints are removed from us. And we get to live without those constraints of time. We know in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, where the angel lifted up his hand and swore forever and ever, time should be no more under the seventh seal. All things close out. It's just the end of this and the end of that, as the prophet said, like a Roman candle going up, and you know how he talked about that. It's the end of the church ages. It's the end of this. It's the end of denominations. And under that seventh seal, everything in time comes to its end, comes to where it's done away with, and there's no more constraint. You know, we think of time, you know, but realize that God's hand on this earth will continue to renew itself. It doesn't have to pass away. They talk about sun and our sun and all that stuff, you know. Well, yeah, maybe it might burn out, but the light we'll have in that place will never burn out, right? You see what I'm saying? So everything just passes under that seventh seal. Everything in time just comes to an end and just goes away and so forth. Time will be no longer. Have no more constraints. Have no more constraints on you and I. And when did this happen? Well, it happened under the message of the seventh angel. Right? In those days, this thing would come about. Like I said at the beginning, a message that has come down to do these things, to catch our attention, to give us a uniting time and sign, a message that has come down to bring us out of spiritual amnesia. A message under 10:7, Revelation 10:7, and the days of the voice of the seventh angel. That message that has come down to introduce the bride to Christ. To introduce you and I to eternal life. To unite you and I to eternal life. So that we know that what lives within us shall never pass away. Amen. Under Revelation 10:7. You know, according to the scriptures, that is our jubilee. Amen? That is our year of jubilee. Our day of atonement under Revelation 10:7.
Right.
So you'll not have the constraints of time any longer when time shall be no more. So what am I saying? That message to bring that revelation to you is beginning. And it starts on the inside, ushering you right into a rapture, ushering you right into eternity in the revelation, and your flesh will catch up. At some point, your flesh will catch up by that revelation. Amen. Let's just let the musicians come as you bow our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for this little time of fellowship around your word. Just pray, God, it's sealed away in the hearts of your people. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate each one. Lord, as they come in here, I see different ones, and they coming out of their comfort zones just that they might be able to do something for you. And we appreciate that, Lord. We just pray, God, that you bless each one as we go today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move and woo and guide each one. Bring them to this revelation of your word, that it might live through them without constraints, Lord. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. still exist, just hadn't heard it in a long time. But it's, will the circle be unbroken? And, you know, well, God, think about your own family, you know, and your own household or whatever, but I think about church family. When I get over on the other side, I said, as we'd be looking and watching for each one to come, and that would be, that song would be in my heart. Will the circle be unbroken? Will every one of you be there? That's the desire of our hearts as a minister of the gospel, as loving one another, and that everyone would be there. Amen. This world's passing away. Make plans for it. Right? Don't look at all the things here that, if you can look at it and you see that it's getting weaker and it's passing away, then you know, don't look at that. But look at the things that are eternal. Amen. Faint not, for in due time,